Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me on the Word Podcast. I tell you, I hope this portion of the scripture is whacking you over the head in the same way that it's whacking me over the head. There's some power in this right here. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9 again. We're just hanging out here for a while, where Paul had told him, hey, I'm in Ephesus. I'm going to stay here to Pentecost. Why? Because a wide door of spiritual empowerment, effective work, has opened to him. And there are many adversaries. And we've already gone through several of these examples that we see in Acts 19 of the adversaries that he was facing, of the type of empowering that the Spirit had poured forth upon Paul. So let's pick up verse 23 where we were in a previous episode, then we'll press on. It says this, about this time, and this was the time when Timothy and Erastus had left. Paul had sent them to go to Macedonia. About this time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way, which means it was a huge disturbance. Verse 24, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen, which means he was bringing a lot of business to the craftsmen. Verse 25, these craftsmen, he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said to them, men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. And that's where we ended in the previous episode. And I really want us to reflect upon this and think about this. What is Demetrius saying? He's declaring the truth. He's saying, this Paul, this one man with his entourage, okay, this one man has done what? He's persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people. Not just in Ephesus, but throughout the whole region. And one of the ways he did it was declaring that gods made with hands are no gods at all. We in our enlightened society say, well, we know that. Yeah, we know that. Do we really? If we look at our lives and the way that we live, what is God? Who is God? What do we acknowledge as God? Where do we put our life, our time, our resources, our energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, those little G gods are everywhere, folks. They are everywhere. And these people are beginning to realize, wait, these little gods that people say, oh, well, we need to bow down before this right here, that's not a god at all. We have all sorts of stuff like that within our culture. I mean, nowadays, you are literally demanded to bow down to somebody's cultural belief. And if you don't bow down, you will literally be, there's attempts made just to eradicate you. You'll be taken off social media. You'll lose your job. You'll do this. You'll do that. If you don't bow down before political powers, if you don't bow down before cultural groups, if you don't bow down before pharmakia, okay, pharmakia, word means witchcraft, by the way, where we get pharmacy, pharmakia, okay, if you don't bow down before that, then you're not going to be allowed to travel, you're not going to be allowed to work, you're not going to be allowed to do this, simply because we say, oh, this is what you're supposed to do, and these have become gods in our culture. And Paul's saying, no, don't do that, don't do that. Watch what, let me back a little more. Watch what Demetrius continues to say. So he says what? He's saying this. He's persuading, he's turning away, and he's saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Verse 27, not only is there danger that this trait of ours, and this is still Demetrius, this trait of ours falls into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence. Boy, there's a lot going on right here. So what is he doing? He's really concerned about their trade. He's already acknowledged that. He's really concerned about their money because the transformed hearts that are coming about because of the gospel that Paul is preaching is having a societal, cultural, economic impact. So what happens? An adversary arises against Paul and against the gospel because he's losing money. But he realizes that just the fact that some tradespeople are losing money, just the fact that you're not doing business with us anymore is not going to be enough to persuade the people to come back and do business with them. So what does he do now? Read it again, verse 27. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, but also, so he brings along another argument, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis or Diana be regarded as worthless. He's saying not only are we losing money, but they're going to think, and everybody's going to think, that this great temple that we've built unto goddess Artemis, these great little shrines that we're building and selling to people, these great little idols, that they're worthless. People are going to think this. Not only are people going to think this, people are going to find out that they are worthless. Because he's already acknowledged, this is what Paul's saying, is that gods made with hands are no gods at all. And the people are going to find out that this is true. But what he's doing is he's appealing to how they were raised culturally. He's pointing to this temple and he's saying, hey, people are going to think that our great goddess Artemis is worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship. You know, we've seen that phrase several times in this passage in Acts 19. Anytime somebody, I learned this lesson a hard way in college with a godly guy that did this to me. You know, when somebody says, well, everybody thinks this, all the people know this. Yes, hyperbole is useful, and people, we sort of know what people mean when they're saying that kind of stuff. But I said something like that one time. I said, well, everybody thinks this. And a great, great godly leader looked at me and he said, really? Everybody? And I said, yeah, everybody thinks that. He said, well, can you name me a few examples? yeah, maybe one or two. But that's far short of everybody, right? But what he's saying is that everybody worships this goddess. Well, no, they don't. But watch this. She whom all of Asia and the world, not only Asia, but the entire world worship, will be dethroned from her magnificence. So he appeals to their God. He said, our God is going to be dethroned. Well, you got a problem there right there if you just think for a moment. And the Greeks and Romans were known for their thinking, right? Folks, it's not much of a God if you can dethrone them. Correct? If you can dethrone your God, that's not much of a God. We'll be dethroned from her magnificence. Yeah, if Paul coming along proclaiming this gospel message changes the hearts of people because they believe and that dethrones your God, which it actually does, then it's not much of a God. And it's definitely not the Most High God. So here Demetrius knew he had a problem. He's losing money. Something's happening here. So he's going to come along and he's rallying his tradespeople from the economic point of view. Hey, we're losing money on this thing. We got to do something. And our whole trade, our whole business is going to fall into disrepute. People are going to look at us and say, hey, we are worthless. But not only that, they're going to look at our great God, the God we worship, and that everything is built upon right here. And she's going to be dethroned from her magnificence. You have to sort of chuckle at it and think, is this actually going to work? Well, it sort of does. But our time's up. We'll have to look at that in the next episode, okay? I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.